I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh God, thank you for the church, not the building, but the people, the body of Christ, the fabric, the quilt that comes together for the sake of carrying your love out into the world, for the sake of living as that body of Christ out in the world. And God, we pray right now. There's a lot of uncertainty, especially for those who are food insecure. God, let us be the church. Let us respond as the church. Let us seek out our local food banks and fill them with so much food that no one goes hungry. God, let us think every single day about the gratitude that we have for that which we have and pray for those that don't and put legs on our prayers and respond. God, I pray for unity. Unity within the body of Christ and unity in this nation, God, that we might come together for the sake of our fellow humans. God, I continue to pray for the government and for all those affected by the shutdown. I pray, God, that our government might work together to remember those that don't have the resources they need. And God, I pray this morning that as we celebrate, as I talk about gratitude, as we lean into this season of Thanksgiving, that we might be people that love so deeply that we share that love with the world. God, open our ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning. Open our minds to understanding. Open our hearts to be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, Thanksgiving is coming. You probably know that. If you've walked in any store, all the food is out. My mom and I were talking just yesterday, and we were talking, this is a terrible thing, I'm going to give you a confession about my life. Thanksgiving is probably my least favorite holiday. You do all that work and make all that food, and 15 minutes later, everybody's done eating, and there is a mess everywhere. You feel full, you feel tired, and Thanksgiving is that time where family has to come together and pretend that we don't have any differences. Or maybe we don't pretend. Maybe we lean right into them. Good morning. Can you believe what happened? I mean, you know. So I know it's a stressful season when the holidays come. And some of you are like, my family doesn't talk about any of that. Good for you. I hope you all still love each other. I hope you can figure out how to walk together. But Thanksgiving can be a space. The holidays can be a space that is hard. So I want to just give us everybody just a moment this morning. Just take a deep breath. Right where you are. Don't think about who's coming and who's not. Don't think about the food and all the things you have to do. Just take a deep breath. I want to encourage us this morning to step into a season of gratitude. That's the series. You saw the video that we're launching next week. And you say, why are we talking about next week's series? There's really a blend. Because today we're finishing this Next Step series and we're going to talk about sharing our faith. And I think that fully comes out of gratitude. Gratitude for God, gratitude for the church, gratitude for this community that we have. And I want to talk a lot this morning about how that gratitude affects the way we share our lives with the world. How does it affect the way we share our faith with the world? We've been in this series, this is now week 5, called Taking Steps. And we're thinking, how do we take steps in our faith to grow closer to God, to grow to be more like Christ in the world? You know the problem with Christianity today? A lot of us are acting nothing like Jesus. And that's the real challenge. And if we're growing in our faith, as we talked about, if we're moving on towards sanctification, as Wesley would call it, then every day we're trying to live more and more like Jesus. So we talked the first week about worship and how our lives are a life of worship. And then we talked about spiritual growth and how do we focus on discipleship and growing in our faith. And then serving. Serving is action. And I think action is transformative for us. When we serve alongside others, when we walk alongside others, our lives can be transformed. And then last week I talked about generosity and how financial generosity is often one of the last things we do when it comes to taking steps in our faith. Yet it can be one of the most potent that we do. And today I want to talk about sharing our faith and how we get it out there and how we share. And for some of you, when I talk about that, you start to cringe. And you cringe because you either come from traditions or you've experienced people sharing their faith in a way that causes harm or pain to others. Or maybe you're terrified. You're terrified because you may not know all the answers. That's what AI is for, right? That's what Google's for. Or you're terrified that somebody might ask you questions. If you come in and you're wearing something from your church, or you come in and you start talking about an activity that happened at your church yesterday, you're like, oh my goodness, what if they actually ask me a question about the Bible? You know, one of my biggest fears, I studied biblical background, biblical history. I studied Old Testament, New Testament, Hebrew Bible. One of my biggest fears is that we're going to have a trivia night one time where Bible is one of the categories, and I'm not going to know the answers. Some of you are like, we want Tim on the team. I'm like, no, there's some weird stuff in the Bible that I do not know. Some of you are afraid that if you share your faith, somebody might ask you questions and you might not know the answers. And I want to give us a different lens to talk about this concept of sharing our faith, the step of sharing our faith. I want to do it through the perspective of thanksgiving, through the perspective of gratitude, not through the perspective of information. You know, we're in a land of information overload. Everybody can get all the information they want. But what if you shared your faith through your thanksgiving to God, through your thanksgiving for your church, through your gratitude for the way that God loves you? So many of you invite people to your church, and you invite them because you believe that your church is making a difference in the world. I don't know anybody that I interact with that doesn't want to make a difference. Sure, they may say, yeah, I don't have time. But we all want to be part of something that's making a difference. So I'm going to do this morning through the lens of a letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Some of us were on a trip just a few weeks ago, and we actually got to go to Thessaloniki in Greece. And we got to understand the context of this letter that he's writing. He deeply loves them. You're going to get that, and I'm going to give you that in the beginning. He deeply loves them, and he's also incredibly fearful because he hasn't been with them for a while that they've forgotten. He's incredibly fearful because they were sure that Christ was going to come again and he was going to come really soon, that they have been swayed by other things that have come. He's afraid that they have forgotten what it's like to follow Jesus. So you'll see that in this letter. In the beginning, he opens up with this. It says, "We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." He opens it up. Do you hear the joy there? We always give thanks to God. It's as if I want to tell you I love you and I give thanks to God for you regularly. Now, you may think, oh, this letter is just a bunch of happy stuff. Then he gets to the end of the letter. And I want to give you the context here. It says, "But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves." He wouldn't say that if there wasn't something he had gotten feedback on. "And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of them repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." He opens up this last part of the conversation, giving them these words of how to live in community together. He says, "Be at peace." Oh, could we use that word right now? "Be at peace with one another. Be patient with those who are struggling about the good news. Offer some patience to others, especially those who aren't hearing it as good news yet. Be patient with them. Don't shove it down their throats. Don't tell them that if they don't believe right away, there's something wrong with them. Be patient with them. Don't share evil with others." Shouldn't that just be basic Christian reality? Yet how often has the church, Big C Church, been responsible for evil in the world? Don't share evil with others. Always seek to do good with one another. Clearly, they didn't have social media back then, right? always seek to do good with one another. And then Paul gets to something that seems like a series of impossibilities and responsibilities. He says this. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How does one rejoice always? How do we do it in every moment? Because not every moment's good. Not every moment's easy. How do we do it? Now listen, what's really, really important for you to understand too is that the Thessalonians at the time were in a time of dangerous persecution. People were coming after them because of their belief in the way, because of their following of Jesus. So he's telling people in the midst of persecution, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, not at a particular time, not in a particular moment, not only when things are good, but always. Pray always. Give God thanks in your good times and in your hard times. In all times, give God thanks in all circumstances. Now, I will tell you, there was a time in my faith journey when I would have read that and I would have said, all right, I got to fake it. I got to do it because Paul said to. I got to do it because those are the rules of being a Christian. I think that's the wrong way to look at this. 100%. I was absolutely wrong in my understanding of this. I think these realities are a condition of the heart. I think these realities are an outcome of the work that God is doing in our lives, an outcome of the transformation that happens in our lives. These are not rules. These are encouragement. Pray without ceasing. Focus on loving, focus on carrying that joy into the world and giving God thanks. Paul is trying to encourage people in their belief that Christ will come back again. Could you imagine being those early Christians? The early Christians who thought, he's coming back tomorrow. He said he was coming back. Living in the midst of persecution at the time and wondering, will it really happen? Was it all for naught? Because we really believed this guy. We really believed that this guy was going to come back and he was going to transform the world again. We really believed it, but it wasn't happening. Things are getting dangerous around them, and they're starting to question. They're starting to worry. And Paul says to them that thankfulness is the way to walk in a life of Christ. Gratitude is a way to walk. I talked earlier about this message is going to be about sharing our faith. I believe that sharing our faith comes completely out of our gratitude to God. We don't share our faith because we have to. We share our faith because we have to. We share our faith. Years ago, I was doing some dumb little workout thing, P90X3 or something like that. I told everybody about P90X3. I was like, get the DVDs. It was on DVD. That tells you how old it was. Get the DVDs. And then I realized I talked more about P90X3 than I did about Jesus. Because P90X3 should have paid me during that season, let me tell you. Friends, do we believe in the goodness of the gospel? Do we give God thanks in all circumstances to live a life that is a life of gratitude? So let's talk about how does it affect us? How does gratitude change us? How does this? First, gratitude is a practice that changes our attitude. Have you met those people that just always grateful? Anybody? I mean, seriously, people that get up in the morning and it's raining and you're like, dang, my day's messed up. And they're like, thank God for the rain. We needed it. It's going to grow the grass. I love rain because I love grass, but I'm one of the stranger people. Or what about people who are sitting in traffic and they're giving God thanks that they have a car? You're like, who are those people? People who wake up with bad breath and they're just thankful that they're breathing. People who are grateful in all circumstances. You ever met one of those people? They're a little annoying at first until you realize that they're living a life that you go, I want some of that. Because guess what? Gratitude makes you a happier, more joyful person than does complaining all the time. And frankly, it changes your entire attitude. It transforms our entire attitude. And how in the world can we share Jesus with the world when we're just grumpy people? Nobody wants any of that. Nobody wants the grumpy Christian that comes out and says, you have to believe because of X, Y, or Z. Gratitude changes us. David Brooks, New York Times columnist, talks about a reality that he found in his life in this article called The Structure of Gratitude. And he said that he is grumpier when he stays at really nice hotels. He says he goes into really nice hotels, he pays a lot of money for them, and he is grumpier because he expects everything to be perfect. Anybody else? We stayed at the Ritz one time. A friend gave us a deal at the Ritz in Tysons. I was angry the whole time I was there. But he said, when I stay at budget motels, he said, I'm thankful that they have coffee. I'm thankful that there's a waffle iron. I'm thankful that there's an iron that's only got a little bit of rust on it. There's this thing in life, when we live our lives in a way that we think the whole world ought to give to us, it's really hard to be grateful. But when we live our life in a world of expectations where we're part of journeying with people, that is transformative for us. It's a change in our heart. It's a change in the condition of the heart. There's scientific evidence, friends, that gratitude changes the way we feel and alters our attitude. Wouldn't you rather be known as that person? Wouldn't you rather be known as a grateful person than the complainer? Come on, everybody's got a complainer in their life. And you're like, look, I ain't trying to hang out with them today. Rain and a complainer, that ruins the day. Friends, it's a change in the condition of the heart and how we live. So here's the second point, and this goes a little bit with the first point. Gratitude actually looks good on you. Gratitude looks good on you. I picture the look on Paul's face when he's writing the beginning of that letter, when he's saying, I love you. I'm so grateful for you. If you've ever been a parent and your kid does something, they're in a play, they do a sport, they get a good grade, and you offer gratitude to them, you ever seen their face? And then it reflects back on you. It looks good on you. When your spouse, your partner does something that's beautiful and wonderful and you give them a word of encouragement that you're grateful for them, it looks good on you. Friends, some of you are the most grateful people I've ever met in my life. You walk in here week after week during the weeknights to serve others. You stand at the front door and you write names, even though you may know people and you forget their names as they walk up. But you are grateful to write a name. You stand here and you serve communion. There are people that stand in this parking lot and joyfully wave at people. There are people who prepare the food. There are people who do all kinds of things. And there are people who walk into this space. You're some of the most grateful people I know. And that's transformative to my life. I just want you to know. That's changing to me. I don't want to serve a grumpy old church. Seriously. Who would want to? I am so thankful to be part of a generous church, not just with your finances, but with who you are, because you are grateful to God for who God is. It looks good on you. And here's the thing about gratitude. There's so many studies on this. It doesn't just look good on you. It actually transforms you. It actually changes your spirit. It changes your physical health, your emotional health. There's a professor and researcher named Robert Emmons. He put it this way. Clinical trials indicate that the practice of gratitude can have dramatic and lasting effects in a person's life. Do you know gratitude can lower blood pressure? Some of y'all need to be more grateful. It can improve your immune function and facilitate more efficient sleep. Gratitude changes your way that your body works together. Why not try it? If you're somebody who hasn't tried it on, why not try it? University of California, San Diego School of Medicine found that people who were more grateful actually had better heart health, less inflammation, healthier heart rhythms. They showed a better well-being, a less depressed mood, less fatigue, and they slept better. Gratitude has the opposite effect of stress. Why do we let stress govern our lives, but we don't let gratitude govern our lives? So many of us allow stress to govern our lives and take over, and we don't let gratitude do it. Friend, gratitude makes you someone that others want to spend time with. They want to know you. They want to engage you. Once people can get over the, is this real or not? And isn't that shame that we live in a culture where if somebody's happy, we go, is this real? Where if somebody's grateful, we go, come on. Isn't that a shame? But when we experience gratitude with somebody, we want to be near them because it gives us energy. Again, if you want to share your faith and you're a grumpy person, it's a lot harder. Finally, sharing our faith is actually sharing our gratitude. You don't have to know all the answers to share your faith. That's a myth. You don't even have to be fully convinced of it. But when we share gratitude, other people want to be a part of it. They want to know what it is that's going on. It's not about the knowledge. It's sharing our faith. It's about sharing our gratitude for all that God has done in the midst of our lives. When we share our gratitude, people notice. They want to be a part of it. I can't tell you the number of people that have told me they came to this church because they met someone in the church and they're like, there's something going on there that I want to be a part of. There's something in their life. They came and they talked about how their church fed so many people, and they came and they talked about how their church did this mental health and wellness initiative, and they came and they talked about this, and I said, for goodness sakes, I can't believe it's real. I got to check it out. I want to see it, because gratitude draws people to you, to what you're doing. Ultimately, gratitude encourages us to open up our lives, encourages others to open up their lives. It encourages us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Because sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is not about sharing knowledge, y'all. Again, that's what we have the internet for. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is about sharing love with the world. It's about sharing gratitude. It's about sharing joy. I'm curious this morning, where are you with regards to being thankful always? I know that I got some work to do. I wonder, what if I woke up every morning and didn't pick up my phone, but first picked up a gratitude journal and wrote something in it? What if every night before bed I remembered the joy that I had in that day? I thought about the moment. So I want to encourage you. Remember that third card I told you about earlier? It's in your worship guide. Take it out. There's a card in there. It's about a commitment. And I'm filling this out too. It's a commitment of being more grateful. It's a commitment of sharing that gratitude with the world. There are some things on there, and you're going to see these things on the card. One is, I will make a list of gratitude this week. What are you grateful for? If you'll make that list, check the box. Say, I commit to that. Here's a second one. This is getting bolder. I'll tell one person outside my usual circle why I'm grateful for my faith or my church. Will you commit to doing that? And then here's the third thing. I will pray for the courage to share my faith openly. And again, that's less about information and more about gratitude. So you may say, Tim, why have you guys been doing all this? Why have we been filling out these cards? We're not keeping some sort of track or record on most of these. It's for you. When we fill out something, we have commitment to it. When we do that work, we're committing to actually paying attention to it. I hope that 3 days from now, you'll wake up and you'll go, darn it, I have not started being grateful, and I at least want to try. What if you try? What if you try and you see what happened? I pray that this series has been a gift for you, and I pray that you're starting to think about ways that you can take steps in your faith. I've been doing this work myself this past week. In a lot of ways, these last couple of weeks, I've been trying to write you a letter. I've been trying to say, I love you, I'm grateful for you, and these are some things that I hope you'll think about so that we can continue in the work that we're doing for the sake of the gospel. As we finish up this series, I want to leave you with this, that Paul wrote, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. So in just a minute, we're going to have the opportunity to receive communion, and Pastor Marcella is going to come up, and she's going to walk us through that. And I'm going to invite you to bring all those cards with you when you come. Now, I want to tell you about something that's going to happen. And even if you already turned in an estimate of giving, turn in another one today. We'll be able to figure that out. But I want everybody to participate in this practice. When I would go to the church in Africa, they never did their time of generosity in some sort of solemn way. It was done with joy. Now, what they would do there is they would keep taking offering moments until they got to what they needed. So I think the last Sunday I was there, they did it like 6 times. We won't do that. But what I do want to say to you is, when it comes that time to bring your cards forward, the worship team is going to do this really powerful song with a lot of energy. We're all going to stand from the beginning. And if you want to dance, I want to invite you to dance. If you want to move, I want to invite you to move. Don't look at everybody else around you. Don't worry, whatever. Because if people are going to judge you on Dance and Celebration Sunday, let them work that out with Jesus, okay? But I want you to bring those cards faithfully and joyfully. All three of the ones today. Fill those out and bring them forward. And Pastor Marcel is going to come and lead us.